The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
In the spirit of the holiday, we're going to start today with a song. Take it away, man, woman, camera. But really, it's just the man today.
I would like to start off this evening's symposium by saying that I have no reason to believe that the organizers of San Diego Comic-Con have been anything but wildly responsible when it comes to COVID-19.
No, but Turning Point USA is going on.
I was going to miss out on using the obvious rhyme.
They're spreading Omicron at SD Comic-Con, like exhaust fumes in their costumes by the sea. They're shedding gamma in Alabama, where it's shredding its way through the SEC. Meanwhile, they're fussing with Delta Plus in the East Coast shores, where the drugstores are running out of tussin. Alpha and Beta, I'm sure we'll all get later. And also Zeta and Epsilon and Eta. And have you heard of 1.617.3? Oh, there are so many variants, man, it's really kind of scary. And still there's no end in sight here. So now at the speed of light, we're spreading Omicron at SD Comic-Con by the sea.
Everybody sing when they start singing again.
They're spreading Omicron at SD Comic-Con, like exhaust fumes in their costumes by the sea. It's raining Delta down where they swelter, Key Biscayne where they disdain the CDC. And in Alaska, also Nebraska, around the clock you throw a rock, you'll hit an anti-masker. Alpha and Beta, I'm sure we'll all get later. But with Iota, we finally reached our quota. That is just one mutation too far for me. Though if you're a Mormon Utah and you're coughing on your futon cause you caught moo from your brethren, you're no less at risk of death than Californians who are sinning in cosplay as Harley Quinn and spreading Omicron at SD Comic-Con by the sea.
Yeah, he should have rhymed with the Talking Points USA convention that's in Arizona. They've got Corona. Come on, I could come up with it, and it would have made more sense. In Arizona, they've got Corona, the Omicron variety. See? Boom. All right. Leave your tips at the door. Thank you, everybody. Hey, welcome to a Monday. Oh, boy, and is it a Monday. Actually, the Monday began on Sunday, because you all heard it, right? Now, I don't expect that really anybody here was listening or watching Fox News Sunday, especially its first week without Chris Wallace. So Brett Baer took over because, you know, he's Mr. Journalism. You know, they try to tell us that there are some real journalists over at Fox, not news. There was, you know, Chris Wallace, and I wasn't a fan of his, and he wasn't always, you know, a straight down the middle journalist, but occasionally he would rise to the occasion, but he's the only one. But they tell us Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, they're certainly news people. Yeah, right. I got their Fox News for you right here, buddy.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
So yesterday I found it very interesting that, first of all, Joe Manchin knew he was going to do this. We agree on that, right? No surprises there. He knew he was going to do this, and he actually had somebody call the White House and the Senate Majority Leader's office, Chuck Schumer's office, about a half hour before he went on with Brett Baer over at Fox Not News to tell them that, yeah, he's over it. There's coal in your stocking, baby. There's no Christmas for you. You want Christmas presents? Well, I'm the coal magnate, and I'll give you coal. Isn't that what we're supposed to do when we want people to have a shitty Christmas? Coal. You'll get coal and you'll like it. Oh, I've got a song for that too. I've got a number of songs to play for you today. And the phone lines are open for a number of reasons that I'll explain later. But here, this is Joe Manchin on Fox Not News yesterday. This is just the short one. All right, it goes like this.
I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no.
Oh, my God.
On this legislation, I have tried everything I know to do.
I've tried everything I know to do? No, you really haven't. But I know what you are. I could sing a song to tell you to shut the fuck up. But I have another one that's just been sort of hanging out waiting for the moment to play it. And Joe? Oh, Joe. Oh, Joe.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. This one's for you. Everybody sing.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 His name is
Joe Manchin.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole.
And in case you're wondering, yes, this is
asshole
Keith Olbermann. Because what good would it be without Keith Olbermann saying
asshole,
you know, because Joe Manchin is one. All right. We need to do that because you need the release every now and then. Right. But to get serious, this is so fucked up. Joe Manchin goes on and I listened to the whole thing. I can play you the whole thing. All right. Well, let's start right with a phone call, shall we? Hi, who's this? And where are you calling from?
This is Rick. I'm from Idaho.
Rick from Idaho. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind today?
What's on my... with Joe Biden to get leverage on Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
I don't know why this hasn't been brought up. But, you know, Biden just had the military budget bill go through there.
Yeah, they did.
And all it's waiting is... And is they're waiting for it to be signed by Joe Biden. Why don't Joe Biden use that as leverage and say, Joe, I'm not signing this bill until you sign my bill. And then what will happen in return, Will, that will put pressure on Joe Biden, Manchin, because you put it out there. You put his dirty underwear on the table, you say.
That's
okay.
What the deal was, though. Hey, Rick, that's what the deal they had was. You know, Joe Manchin, the BIF, as they call it, the stupid other infrastructure bill, the corporate infrastructure bill, was Joe Manchin's. Yeah. And there was a deal. They weren't going to do one without the other. Go figure.
Yeah,
I wonder whatever happened to that. In fact, that was Joe Biden's. In fact, I was going to play you a clip, but I can't because you're on the same pot that I had the clip on. But I'm going to find this clip and I'm going to play it for you.
But what I'm saying is, if you bring pressure to bear with the military industrial complex, we'll get pissed off because their money is not going to be coming forthright because Joe Biden will not sign it until Joe Manchin decides to get to do the right thing and sign his bill, the BBB.
Well, vote for it anyway. He doesn't need to sign it.
You've got to use leverage against these people. They don't understand nice. You know, Manchin is a pathological liar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you've got to have leverage. It's like dealing with the mob. You've got to have leverage against these people. And Biden can pull it off. If he hasn't signed that bill already, he has leverage right there. In his
signed
head.
What bill? What bill? What bill are you talking about? The BIF?
I'm talking about the defense budget.
Oh, the defense budget. No, he was not going to hold up the defense budget for this. That was a separate thing. And it's not just about Joe Manchin. What he should have done is what he promised he was going to do here. Remember this? This was just 6 months ago.
I expect that in the coming months this summer, before the fiscal year is over, that we will have voted on this bill.
the BIF.
As well, the infrastructure bill, as well as voted on the budget.
That's the Build Back Better
resolution.
Yeah.
And that's when they'll, but if only one comes to me, I'm not, if this is the only thing that comes to me, I'm not signing it. It's in tandem.
That's what he said. The problem is Joe Biden didn't keep his word to the American people or to himself. He went ahead and signed that because he got all nervous because the Democrats lost an election in Virginia.
Yeah, yeah. I realize that, but he also got conned by Manchin. Manchin is a liar. And so Manchin agreed that he was due. Sign this bill if the other one.
He doesn't sign anything. Manchin didn't agree to sign anything. He doesn't sign anything. You're talking about.
I know he didn't agree to that, but he agreed to go along with and help pass the thing. And,
yes.
And
exactly.
Joe Biden.
Right. But Joe Biden already gave up the leverage that he had.
I know. But I'm saying he still has leverage. Defense budget.
Well, it's not the defense budget. He's not going to hold up the defense budget over this. I wish he would, but he won't. But there are other things he can do. He can say to Joe Manchin, you want money for retraining for your coal miners? You want highways? You want your bridge repaired? He cares about that stuff as much as he cares. Okay. As much as he cares about the defense bill. I promise you he does. He doesn't have any extra skin in the game on the defense bill. Look, that's all of them, except for the 9 or so who voted against it. They're all complicit in that. And Joe Biden's not going to hold it up. Thank you for the call, Rick. Much appreciated. The phone lines are open today, by the way. 954-889-6410. If you're on Skype, you can Skype in. But yeah, there are ways. There is leverage that Biden can assert over Manchin. It's not the NDAA. Yeah. Yep. Hold on, David. Yes.
I'm sorry. I think he's got a great idea. I think if Biden positions this correctly and says, I will sign the defense budget when Joe Manchin agrees to go along with my agenda. Now, in addition to having Democratic progressives pissed off at him, Manchin's going to have the military-industrial complex pissed off at him. And at the very least, this guy's got a brilliant idea, Nicole.
Okay.
Don't dismiss it out of hand.
I'm just saying he's not going to do it because Joe Biden is part of that military-industrial complex.
Joe Biden may not do it, but I think this is a brilliant fucking idea, and kudos to the
He already signed it.
Well,
I think he already signed it.
But regardless, what he could do, even if he has signed it, he could say not a dollar from that defense budget
will go to
West Virginia.
Absolutely. And that's what he should do. You know, there's a lot of chatter online about how, you know, well, Biden doesn't have the congressional backup that LBJ had when he made noise and made threats. But he's got other things. There are things he can do. And instead, he gave up the Democrats' leverage when they passed the BIF and he signed it before he had a vote on the reconciliation package. I hate saying the BIF and the Build Back Better or reconciliation bill because they suck as names. The Democrats suck at positioning, and I know they have a lot of creative people there. Can't they get some in there to write copy, to come up with catchy bumper sticker slogans? Instead, we get single-payer health care, BIF, which doesn't mean shit, and Build Back Better. Are you kidding me? Wow. Yes, Diane Russell just said LBJ had 67 senators. It's a different thing. But there is something he could do, but he hasn't done it yet. So Biden did issue a letter in response. Let me see if I can't. Of course, my thing doesn't want to come up here. I hate it when my thing doesn't want to come up here. Let's see if I can bring up my thing over here. Today is what? Oh, man. Open. Come on. I got to go looking for it on this this computer. Oh, man. So anyway, time to wear masks. Well, it is. Okay. So there's so many things swimming around here. I've got a lot of things going on in like different places. So let me try to pull it all together for you. We're just going to go through the news today because there is an awful lot of it and most of it is not very good. But when I played that song at the beginning, and the man, woman, camera guy started singing about San Diego Comic-Con because it rhymes with Obercon. Again, look, just off the top of my head, at that split second, I realized that Arizona rhymes with Corona, and that's where they're having the stupid Turning Point USA conference. It's better than Comic-Con and Omicron, isn't it? Come on.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. All right, hold on. I still want to find this, my damn show sheet, so I can give you the other news. Where is it? Where's my thing came disconnected. All right, here we are. I think. You can't take me anywhere, I'm telling you. Okay, show sheets. Here we are. All right, so now, I think now I can bring up my news eventually. Anyway, so this Turning Points USA conference is going on, and I went to, I tried to actually call the hotel to see if I could get Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene on the phone. It didn't work. They must be there under, you know, assumed names like Annie Oakley and things like that. But all right. So shortly before I came on the air, another element to this Joe Manchin story crossed over the Washington Post. According to the Washington Post, Joe Manchin last week made Joe Biden yet another offer. Now, we just heard, but not just, but we heard a few weeks ago when we had been told by the media that Manchin wasn't giving any guidance on what his top line number was, you know, what his parameters were. Then we found out that indeed he had, that he had a long meeting with Chuck Schumer, which he did lay out all of those specifics, and Chuck Schumer opted not to pass them along. Makes you wonder a little bit, right? Well, now come to this story that just broke right around 2 o'clock this afternoon. Joe Manchin last week told Joe Biden that he would accept a $1.8 trillion package that included universal pre-K funded for 10 years, an expansion of Obamacare, which, by the way, we need to fund because so many of us got insurance at these new rates that were brought down by the first COVID bill that President Biden passed. Now they're going to go away, like the child tax credits are going to go away. That's not going to go over well. By the way, but I digress. Back to this. The deal that Manchin made or said that he would take, $1.8 trillion package that included universal pre-K for 10 years, an expansion of Obamacare, and hundreds of billions of dollars to combat climate change. This according to three people familiar with the matter. But Manchin's counteroffer excluded the child tax credit. No extension for the child tax credit. And the administration has seen that as a cornerstone of Biden's economic plan. And so the omission, the White House couldn't go along with it. And I guess, therefore, it fell apart. But Biden, to the best of my knowledge, never told anyone about this. Going back to the Washington Post article, they write, Manchin's private proposal to the White House, the details of which have not previously been reported, was made just days before a spectacular public collapse in negotiations between the White House and the senator, marked by bitter and personal recriminations that left the status of the talks unclear. The White House was weighing how to respond to Manchin's proposal last week when on Sunday he told Fox Not News that he would be unable to support the current version of the Democrats' Build Back Better agenda. That's how this unraveled. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki publicly called Manchin's credibility into question a few hours later, saying his comments, quote, are at odds with his discussions this week with the president, with White House staff, and with his own public utterances. On Monday, Manchin again responded by criticizing White House staff for poisoning the negotiations. Oh, my God. So this has been a kind of a he said, she said, right? Chuck Schumer writes this letter, a dear colleague letter to his caucus that he sent out last night. And in it, he explains that he's not done. He's going to bring the Build Back Better bill up for a vote in January. And actually, That was a recommendation that Bernie Sanders made. Progressives have been speaking out. In fact, let's listen to a little bit of Bernie. This is Bernie yesterday with Jake Tapper explaining how he feels.
We all knew.
Whoops, that's not Bernie. Whoops, that. Stop it, Ilhan. sorry, this is Bernie. Oh, I didn't
cue
in.
Welcome back to State of the Union. I'm Jake Tapper. Breaking news this morning. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia has just said he is a no on President Biden's cornerstone legislation, Build Back Better. Take a listen.
I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no on this legislation. I have tried everything I know to do.
Joining us now exclusively to react, the man managing the legislation, Senate Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders of Vermont. So Senator Sanders, Chairman Sanders, Senator Manchin says he can't get there. This is a no. He's tried everything. What's your reaction?
Well, I think he's going to have a lot of explaining to do to the people of West Virginia to tell them why he doesn't have the guts to take on the drug companies and lower the cost of prescription drugs, why he is not prepared to expand home health care. West Virginia is one of the poorest states in this country. You got elderly people and disabled people who would like to stay at home or forced into nursing homes. He's going to have to tell the people of West Virginia why he doesn't want to expand Medicare to cover dental, hearing, and eyeglasses. I've been to West Virginia a number of times, and it's a great state, beautiful people. But it is a state that is struggling. And he's going to have to tell the people of West Virginia why he's rejecting what the scientists of the world are telling us, that we have to act boldly and transform our energy system to protect future generations from the devastation of climate change. You know, what's going on now, Jake, in Washington is the big money interests are pouring hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yep.
To make sure that we continue to pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, that the rich do not start paying their fair share of taxes. And I would have hoped that we could have had at least 50 Democrats on board who have the guts to stand up for working families and take on the lobbyists and the powerful special interest. We have no Republican support. Not one Republican in the United States Senate or the House, for that matter, is prepared to stand up to the drug companies or the insurance companies or the wealthy. I would hope we would have had 50 Democrats. Mm-hmm. But if that is the case, then I hope that we will bring a strong bill to the floor of the Senate as soon as we can and let Mr. Manchin explain to the people of West Virginia why he doesn't have the guts to stand up to powerful special interests.
Oh, so you want to vote on it no matter what, even if...
Absolutely. Absolutely. The American people have got to understand what is at stake. For decades now, what Congress has been doing, giving tax breaks to the rich, not standing up to the drug companies, so that we end up paying the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs, ignoring climate change.
Hello.
The President of the United States and almost every Democrat is trying, finally, to address these issues.
Did you know this was coming?
Mr. Manchin doesn't want to support us. Well, look, we've been dealing with Mr. Manchin for month after month after month. But if he doesn't have the courage to do the right thing for the working families of West Virginia and America, let him vote no.
Let him vote no.
So how do you tell somebody out there watching, wondering, how come you couldn't get Joe Manchin on board?
Well, as I've indicated, we're taking on not just Joe Manchin, we're taking on, do you know how much money the pharmaceutical industry has spent in the last year on lobbying alone? Over $300 million.
Yeah, most of it's
campaign
Cinnamon
contributions.
Manchin.
Plus all kinds of advertising. Fossil fuel industry is spending a fortune. Let's not kid ourselves. We have a corrupt political system dominated by big money interest.
Yep.
And finally, some of us are saying, let's stand up for working families. Average worker has not seen a pay raise in inflation accounted for dollars in 45 years, while the rich are becoming phenomenally richer. Corporate profits are at an all-time high. And what some of us are saying, maybe we'll stand up for working families for a change.
Maybe.
But apparently we don't have the 50 votes that we need. And I think we take that message right into the 2022 campaigns. Which party, with the exception maybe of one or two people, which party is prepared to do the right things for the elderly, for the children? And by the way, we talk about kids. I want everybody out there to know, If this Manchin votes no, those $300 tax credits that have gone a long way to reducing childhood poverty in America, they're gone. Mm-hmm. That's over. We cut childhood poverty by over 40%. An extraordinary accomplishment. Manchin doesn't want to do that. Tell that to the struggling families of West Virginia and America.
So yeah. You're suggesting he doesn't have the guts to stand up for working families and to take on the moneyed interests. If Senator Manchin were here, he would say, my state is a state that voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. What I'm doing in going after and opposing this legislation will be popular. And Manchin has said he thinks money, he's saying all this money is going to make inflation worse.
Let me talk about it. Joe Manchin voted for a huge increase in military spending.
Yes, he did.
Manchin voted for an infrastructure bill.
Yes, he
did. Added $250 billion to the deficit.
Yep.
The truth of the matter is that if you look at the military budget, $770 billion, times that by 10 years, it is four times higher than what the Build Back Better plan is.
Four times.
Now, you know, Mr. Manchin says he's representing the people of West Virginia. Okay. Why don't you do a poll? It's CNN, do a poll. And you ask the people of West Virginia whether or not they want to lower the cost of prescription
drugs.
Good
idea.
You ask them whether they want to expand Medicare to cover dental, hearing, and eyeglasses.
Drugs.
You ask them whether they want to continue the $300 payment to help working parents in these very difficult times bring up their kids with dignity. Ask them if they want to deal with climate change.
Mm-hmm.
On all of those issues, I suspect people of West Virginia, like every other state in
we
this
country,
we may have
to call West Virginia.
Yes, do the right thing for working families.
Is there a...
And I challenge. You know, I told Manchin, by the way,
you go,
I'll pay
Bernie
for the damn poll in West Virginia on those issues. See how the people of West Virginia feel.
You know, West Virginia is just a one-party state, meaning you can record somebody in a phone conversation in West Virginia as long as one of the parties on the call agrees to it. Well, I'll agree to it. So I can call West Virginia. Maybe we'll take an informal poll a little later. Could be dangerous because, again, we're talking about West Virginia. We'll see how the hour goes. In the meantime, two things. One is what Bernie said there. He said a lot. But he did say, make him vote. Right? And indeed, from Chuck Schumer's Dear Colleague letter he sent last night, it goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But he said, let's see. Therefore, senators should be aware that the Senate will, in fact, consider the Build Back Better Act very early in the new year so that every member of this body has the opportunity to make their position known on the Senate floor, not just on television. Ooh, Chucky. We're going to vote on a revised version of the House passed Build Back Better Act, and we will keep voting on it until we get something done. Ooh, Chucky's getting a little forceful here. And then he continues. Additionally, please be advised that shortly after the 117th Congress resumes in January, the Senate will consider voting rights legislation as early as the first week back. Previous attempts to simply debate such legislation have been obstructed by Republican filibusters, effectively defending the voter suppression and election nullification laws passed by so many Republican state legislatures on party lines with simple majorities. We all agree that the right to vote is the cornerstone of our democracy. With that in mind, I would ask you to consider this question. If the right to vote is the cornerstone of our democracy, then how can we, in good conscience, allow for a situation in which the Republican Party can debate and pass voter suppression laws at the state level with only a simple majority vote, but not allow the United States Senate to do the same? If Senate Republicans continue to abuse the filibuster and prevent the body from considering this bill, the Senate will then consider changes to any rules which prevent us from debating and reaching final conclusion on important legislation. Except there's a little problem here, because as recently as yesterday, Manchinima, that includes both of them, have both said they will not go along with any changes to the filibuster law. I portend that neither one of these senators is a Democrat. I and putting it out there that I believe both of them are actually Republicans who are acting in sort of undercover roles, that they're posing as Democrats. They got elected as Democrats, but they're secretly doing the bidding of the Republicans from whom they get paid. I know those are pretty heavy charges, but it's what I feel. It's what I feel. I'll give you some more evidence on that, but I just got to mention this while I'm at it. So Joe Manchin, who has been screaming that, you know, he supports the child tax credit, you know, families with children under, I don't know what the age break off is because my kid is an adult now, but up until, I don't know, 16, 17, they get $300 a month and then a little, you know, there's a break off. It must be lower than that. Up until six, get 350, and from six to 17, get 300, something like that. There is good money that is pulled 40% of America's children who are living in poverty out of it. It made a difference. The statistic was disgusting that one in four children in this, the wealthiest planet, the wealthiest nation on the planet, in the history of the planet, one in four children was going to bed hungry at night, was food insecure. That's a phrase we shouldn't even ever utter here in this, the wealthiest nation on the planet. And this child tax credit helped. It fed these hungry kids. And Joe Manchin, liar that he is, kept saying, oh, I'm all for the child tax credit, but this only puts it in for 1 year. You need to extend it out for the full 10 years so that Americans know the true cost of it. Well, hey, Joe, what's the true cost of kids being hungry for the next 10 years, of not having enough to eat in this, the wealthiest nation in the history of the planet? I'm waiting. Not that I expect Joe Manchin to answer me, but, you know. But so this is what he'd been saying publicly. Extend it out for 10 years so that they know the full cost. Well, the thing is, that would eat up $1.6 trillion of the $1.7 trillion that Joe Manchin said he would allow to be spent to make lives better for millions of Americans. But he was lying. Don't be surprised, because Joe Manchin lies. But how is he lying? HuffPost is reporting that Manchin was heard in Congress discussing another problem he has with Biden's domestic spending plan, that it would give low-income parents money that they might spend on drugs! 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 Two unnamed sources said to be familiar with the alleged comments told HuffPost that the senator was heard speculating that parents might buy drugs, drugs, with those monthly child tax credit payments instead of providing for their kids. He's also reported to have said that Americans might fake an illness to claim paid sick leave to go on hunting trips. Hey, Joe, we don't go on hunting trips. That's you and the Trump boys. Ugh. According to HuffPost, Manchin's purported comments, quote, shocked several senators. His office declined to comment on HuffPost's report. Ew, ew, and ew. So, Joe Manchin, you talk a good game, but you know what? I need you to shut the fuck up.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow. That's for you, Joe.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. AOC made the rounds this morning. She's kind of pissed, too.
I think what Senator Manchin did yesterday represents such an egregious breach of the trust of the president. And it's also, you know, this is exactly why it's an outcome that we had warned about well over a month ago, about needing to plan a contingency plan for it. It's why we insisted on having the bipartisan infrastructure plan coupled and passed together with the Build Back Better Act. But I think right now we are at a juncture where it's not really about, I think, being angry. I mean, of course, we have every right to be furious with Joe Manchin, but it's really up to leadership in the Democratic Party who, you know, made the decision to get us to this juncture and how we're going to move forward. And I think right now that Democratic leadership has a very large number of tools at their disposal, the president particularly. And it's really about time that, you know, we take the kid gloves off and we start using them to govern for working families in this country.
Well, Congresswoman, yeah. You said yesterday that you were not upset with Joe Manchin as much as you were with Democratic leaders. And let's, as my grandmother from Dalton, Georgia, used to say, let's just take the rag off the churn. That starts with the president of the United States, doesn't
it? Rag off the churn.
Who shook hands with Joe Manchin. They said they had an agreement on $1.75 trillion bill, and the president told you all that you could trust him. He could bring Joe Manchin along. Mm-hmm. How do you work with the White House moving forward?
Well, you know, I think, as I said earlier, when we were in negotiations, originally the entire country's infrastructure plan was in one bill. And this bill could be passed with all Democratic votes. It was a decision to separate these two bills and just break apart one part, that which was this quote unquote bipartisan infrastructure plan that has a lot of fossil fuel subsidy giveaways, of which Manchin is a known ally of the fossil fuel industry, and then separate the extension of child tax credits, separate the real actions that are going to protect us from climate change into the Build Back Better Act. Now, when that decision to separate and to advance the bipartisan infrastructure bill happened, some of us took umbrage with that. And the president did say that that the Build Back Better Act was promised, and that, you know, he's got it. And we said, you know, with respect to the president, no one can really promise a Manchin vote. And so we need to really figure out what the solution is, because at the end of the day, when the clock strikes midnight on New Year's, we are talking about millions of families in the United States having their child tax credits expire. The president made the announcement just this past week that he does not have an intention on extending the student loan deadline. And both of these things, in addition to the untenable situation of voting rights in this country, all three of these things are completely unacceptable. And so what we really need to do is, I think, is have folks that really, you know, our leadership needs to step up. And I think that we can do that. I do not believe that the situation is beyond repair, but it's going to take a different kind of thinking to get out of it than it did to get into it.
That's AOC making a lot of sense. David just walked back in here again. What are you saying?
Well, first of all, I apologize for monopolizing your time. However, when this whole thing was first being debated and the progressives were saying we need to couple these two bills together, people were saying, oh, the progressives are placing their wants above the needs of the party. No, now the progressives have proven they took it. They took a shot in the mouth for the party, and look at what's happening now. Mm-hmm. Who's loyal to the party? Who's loyal to the party? Not Joe Manchin.
Nope.
Not Manchinima.
Nope.
The progressives are the ones who are loyal to the Democratic Party and Democratic policies.
Yep.
Fuck Joe Manchin.
I agree. But the progressives were holding out for the benefit of everyone. They were trying to stick to this deal that Joe Biden said he was going to stick to. What did you say again? It was June 24th, Joe Biden. What did you say?
I expect that in the coming months this summer, before the fiscal year is over, that we will have voted on this bill, as well the infrastructure bill, as well as voted on the budget resolution. And that's when they'll. But if only one comes to me, I'm not, if this is the only thing that comes to me, I'm not signing it. It's in tandem.
See, he said that, but the progressives meant it. But then when he, you know, went to them and said, look, we got to do something. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. We got to do something. We lost in Virginia. We lost the governor's race. Well, maybe that's because Terry McAuliffe sucked as a candidate, that all he talked about was Donald Trump instead of what he was going to do for the people. Terry McAuliffe sucked the first time. And when he lost, in Virginia, you can't run for two consecutive terms as senator. That's why he didn't have a second term. So he sat out a term and then went back to run again. Don't do that. And that's why they lost the election in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe was a lousy candidate. And to react like this was just wrong. It was just flat out wrong. Now, so I suggested maybe I'd call somebody in West Virginia. Somebody in the chat room said, oh, call Robin at the Head On Radio Network. Well, I would call Robin Kincaid, but she's on the air right now, too. So, well, Robin Kincaid's on the air, so I can't call her. I guess I could, but then I'd have to, you know, sit on hold until she, you know, picked up. But here's what I did. This could be very dangerous. I pulled up the white pages for West Virginia. I'm not even going to qualify it by picking out the bluest area because honestly, I don't know. Are there any blue areas in West Virginia? I have no idea. But so I just looked up the name Sandler in West Virginia. And let's see where I can get Jane Ellen Sandler. That sounds interesting. Will they give me her phone number? Let's see. Oh, I have to unlock the room. This is such bullshit. It used to be you could just go on and find a phone number. But this White Pages thing, they want money. Jane Ellen Sandler. Oh, she's in her 70s. All right, let's find it. Okay, Patrick C. Sandler in Wardensville, West Virginia. That sounds like a nice blue area. Let's see. Will they give me his phone number? Oh, they do. Okay. Well, let's try it. We'll just try one. I have no idea if this will work. I could get some crazy Republican. And the fact that we're calling West Virginia, I probably will. But, you know, we'll give it a shot anyway. I've not called this number before, in case you're wondering. It's probably going to blow up in my face. But let's give it a shot anyway. All right. So we're calling Patrick C. Sandler in Wardensville, West Virginia. One ringy dingy. And let's see what happens. See if he answers. You never know when you do this kind of stuff. I never know. It sounds like he's not answering. You see, this is why I should, like, you know, I should call ahead of time to make sure there's going to be somebody there. I'll try one other person. All right.
The person you have dialed.
Not there.
Can't take
All
your
right.
Call.
Oh, well, that sucks. Oh, but I know who this is. Hi. Who's calling?
Hi.
Is this Naomi?
Naomi.
Hey, Naomi. Hold on 1 second because we're switching gears here. So let me tell you what's going on. I just tried to call a random number in West Virginia because Bernie Sanders suggested polling the people of West Virginia to find out if they're okay with not having lower drug prices, not having their Medicare cover their vision and dental work and hearing, and not having the child tax credit extended, and not having not doing anything to mitigate the effects of climate change and all that, because Joe Manchin seems to think that's how the American people feel, or that's how the people of West Virginia feel, that Joe Manchin is acting in their best interest. And I think I'm with Bernie. I think most people, if you ask them, would say, hell no, I want this stuff. What is he doing? So I just called. I looked up somebody by the last name of Sandler in West Virginia, but I got no answer. So I was going to make a prank phone call, and then you called in. So this is Naomi Seligman. Naomi was going to join us on Friday to talk about, because people were here on Friday, and remember, there's a story in the current issue of New York Magazine that you're quoted in, dealing with Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, his like right hand guy, being a Me Too creep.
Well, that's generous, Nicole.
Yeah.
So
So, yeah, so the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, who is a nominee to the ambassador to India, who had his hearing last week, there is a story in New York Magazine, a deep, long, investigative look at the ways that the mayor tolerated, witnessed, and enabled predatory behavior from his top guy, his top fundraiser, his top political person. He was his deputy chief of staff.
The guy's name is Rick Jacobs? Rick Jacobs?
His name is Rick Jacobs. Rick Jacobs has a long history. He started off working for oligarchs in Russia. And he then came and decided that he wanted to build his political prowess. He ran the Dean campaign, actually, in California. He founded something called the Courage Campaign.
Courage Campaign. Yes. That's how I know Rick Jacobs. The Courage Campaign.
That is how you know Rick Jacobs.
I looked at the picture when I read the magazine. I'm going, this guy looks so familiar. How do I know him? He founded the Courage Campaign, and the Courage Campaign has actually done some really good work.
They absolutely have, despite what Mr. Jacobs has done, who, you know, has been a known and serial sexual harasser and abuser for decades at this point.
So
people have really, they've tolerated it because he's a prolific fundraiser. They've tolerated it because he had access to power. And then as he built his access to power, he became the gatekeeper to Mr. Garcetti. And became a real power broker and became indispensable to the mayor and his wife. And along the way, he abused staff friends and colleagues in pretty profound ways. In July of 2020, one of the mayor's protective detail had enough.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an LAPD officer. His name's Matthew Garza. He's a very courageous man. And he sued the city because of the sexual harassment and abuse that he endured.
Wow.
From Rick Jacobs in front of the mayor.
Okay.
He said that half of all of the incidents were in front of the mayor.
Half of the incidents were in front of the mayor. And Eric Garcetti has said on the records when asked that he had no idea any of this was going on. Yet you also were accosted by this Rick Jacobs guy, and you reported it. You were the communications director for Mayor Garcetti, right? And you reported it through
Correct.
The channels?
I reported it immediately to the chief of staff, to Ana Guerrero, and she simply rolled her eyes and said, there's nothing we can do about it. She refused to make a complaint.
Wow.
And so I was deposed. I was deposed in the lawsuit, as was the mayor, as were a number of their staff. And my successor communications director, she was deposed as well. And we told the truth. We said what we saw. We said what we saw. We were one of the very few to tell the truth. We were pressured not to do so. We were ostracized. The moment we told the truth, there's not a single person in that administration that continues to talk to me. And it was straight away. It was like all of my friends and colleagues got on a plane and crashed.
Oh, my God.
And the next day, everyone was gone. It was pretty crushing.
So now Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. soon to be ex-mayor because he's term limited out, right? He is up to be...
Correct.
Ambassador to India. Now, they just approved a whole slew of them the other day, including Rahm Emanuel to be ambassador to Japan, which we should also be pissed off about. Eric Garcetti's hasn't gone through yet?
No. So the hearing was last week with two other nominees, one to Pakistan, one to Germany.
Okay.
Senator Shaheen, Jean Shaheen from New Hampshire, did a very perfunctory question around the sexual harassment. I was grateful she used her question to ask him about it, but it was a really check the box situation. Said, I hear this happened. You know, do you have anything to say about it?
Uh-huh.
And he repeated the line that he repeats again and again. And I know from my own experience that he's not being truthful. I know from my experience he was not truthful under oath, whether it be in the Senate or whether it be whether it be testifying in this case or in the media or otherwise. So he was not truthful to the senators, which I think they should be disappointed in. There hasn't been a thorough vetting. This past summer, my attorney, Micah Star Liberty, drafted a very comprehensive letter based on all of the testimony that she was privy to and all of the ways that the mayor and his staff were untruthful, enabled, and witnessed, tolerated the sexual abuse. And that was sent to every member of the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate.
Wow.
And we have, and the minority and majority sides did reach out to her and have discussions with her. But, you know, I haven't heard from some of these more progressive members, and it's very disappointing. You know, Senator Markey, Markey is on that committee. You know, he voted against Rahm Emanuel.
Right.
I was a constituent of his my entire life before I came to California. In fact, he was my representative even before that.
Mm-hmm.
So long life. I'm from Framingham, Massachusetts. And, you know, I haven't heard from Senator Markey, and it's very disappointing. Senator Merkley from Oregon, another impressive member. We have not heard from him or his staff to talk about, you know, just to be clear, and you mentioned this, but, you know, Rick Jacobs, in front of my staff, grabbed me, held me, and kissed me against my will for a long period of time, and then just dropped me and walked away. And it
my God.
You know, it was very upsetting. I'm also, you know, I've been a Me Too advocate for a long time, and it was a horribly exciting experience that was only, of course, exacerbated by the refusal to do anything to hold him accountable. And at this point, you know, I don't think that the mayor is fit to be an ambassador, especially in a country such as India that endures enormous gender violence, some of the worst in the world. And this is not someone we should be exporting over to a country like that.
Right.
It's not okay. It's not fair. It's not okay for the women in that country that this is who we bring over. It's like when you moved around problematic priests or others. It's not okay just to move them to one place to another.
No.
So, you know, what I would ask your listeners is, you know, if they're outraged by this as well, you know, please get in touch with your senator and let them know that you can't support them voting yes.
Right.
For this man.
Right. This is crazy. Now, I'm in Florida. Sorry. My senators are Marco Rubio and Rick Scott, who they both cheer him on because that's the kind of guys they are. But there are some good senators out there. And if you live in a state with especially in Oregon or Massachusetts, get in touch with Markey's office, get in touch with Merkley's office. Who else is on the Foreign Relations Committee?
Well, we have Cory Booker.
New Jersey. He's got COVID right now.
I mean, yes, he has COVID right now. I mean, Cory Booker did go to school with the mayor. He has had a very long relationship with him, but he's also been a Me Too advocate. So I really hope that he decides that he wants to put courage over loyalty.
I think so, too.
That would be really important, and I hope that's the case. I also think that, you know, there are other members that have been, of course, incredible. Like, well, Bob Menendez, by the way, chairs the committee.
Uh-huh.
So Bob Menendez from New Jersey, if you live in New Jersey, you know, please go ahead. But, you know, someone like Senator Gillibrand, who has been, you know, a real star in the Me Too moment. And we haven't heard from her. And I do feel that it would be, you know, really great if we did at this point. You know, if you live in New Hampshire, Jean Shaheen, even though she's in a tough race, she did bring it up. And then at the end, she said, well, I look forward to your confirmation. Well, that's not enough.
It's not enough. No.
We need more than that. You know, we have Tim Kaine in Virginia. Ugh,
yeah, he's worth it.
Ryan Schatz in Hawaii.
Ryan Schatz
and
is good.
Chris Van Hollen. Ryan Schatz is great. Chris Van Hollen, who's, you know, a real hero in a lot of places.
Chris Van Hollen.
Right? So if you live in Maryland.
Not really. There's a handful in there that should help you. It sucks that it seems like they're ignoring you. All right. Well, do we know
it's,
when?
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So right now we know that, you know, his vote was not, you know, there was a number of confirmations that were held by Ted Cruz, as we know, but his was not one of those. So there was a decision made, and I don't know why, to hold his, to hold the vote for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee until after the new year.
Good. Okay.
So
buys you more time.
You know, beginning or middle of January. So, you know, I do think that people with values, these, some of these members, you know, that have spoken out against Me Too, they have to live their values now.
Yep.
As well.
I hear
it's
you.
It's not over.
Well,
so I think people should expect that of them.
Naomi Seligman is who's we're speaking with, former communications director for Eric Garcetti, who was accosted, who was assaulted by his right-hand man, Rick Jacobs, and Eric Garcetti turned a blind eye over and over again. And it wasn't only you, and it wasn't only women. He did it to men too. And complaints were filed, and it's been ignored. And now Eric Garcetti is under contention to be the next ambassador to India. There is, like I said, in the current issue of New York Magazine, a big story about this. So, Naomi, you just want to get the word out to let people know that he's not our friend. He's not a good guy.
He's not, and he is not going to represent our country the way it needs to be represented overseas. We have a lot of mending to do overseas, and he is not the person to do it. And it looks as though it's not a thoughtful choice. It reflects badly on our country, on our values, and it will not help the women over there at this point. Or, by the way, here,
yeah,
who feel like they can't speak out, and you watch the Senate confirm someone like that, that makes them feel powerless.
Yep.
So I want to empower these women and men to be able to speak up.
Okay. Well, I think you just did. And you did with the interview with New York Magazine, and hopefully the word gets out. You know, I spent over the weekend, I've been trying to stay away from the news because it's so horrible. So I've been binge watching. We got the Paramount Plus for a month so that my husband could watch the new South Park post-COVID movie. So while we have it, I'm binging the series The Good Fight, which is the spinoff from The Good Wife, which is a really good legal show. And the seasons that I watched over the weekend, it's all about the Me Too stuff. And your story kept playing through my head as I'm listening to these, you know, men. My God, I know they're not all bad. And I love men. You know, I'm a heterosexual woman. I like men. I'm married to one. But they got to stop this shit.
That's right. And Nicole, remember, it's about power, right? And it's not about sex. You know, Rick Jacobs, he's gay, but he was also an equal opportunity abuser.
Wow.
So we just have to understand this is all about power. You know, he kissed my husband in front of me.
Oh,
and then
God.
Looked at me to get my reaction.
Wow.
That's where we are, right? And so, yes, there is that bigger power play we need to think about. And The Good Fight's a great example of what they do. I watched the morning show. I binged it, right?
Yes, I watched that too.
And I felt like I was living it.
Yep.
Spectacular, right? This is what we're going through.
And you know, yes, and we all have one of those stories. Most of us do. I have one. I had a boss in Los Angeles at a radio station. We had to fly to Chicago to do commercials for our TV, for our radio station. So I was the promotion and marketing director. So we go to Chicago. We're in a hotel. We go spend all day in the studio. We got the spots done. They're great. We go back to the hotel. We have dinner. Then he walks me to my room and he tries to push his way in. And I'm like, no, no, no. I had to physically hold the door and say, you are not coming in here. Good night. And slam the door on him. And then I had to fly back to L.A. with him the next day and go through life with him as my boss. So many of us have had these stories. And that's when you say, you know, time's up. Enough is enough. And we haven't heard about this lately. So, you know, a reminder every now and then is a good thing. Because it still happens every goddamn day.
That's right. And a lot of people can't speak up for a lot of different reasons. And so, you know, I'm speaking for a lot of the victims at this point because of career, because of family, because of finances, you name it, they can't do it. So my voice really represents so many of these women and men that I have heard from and others have heard from.
All right.
So I'm really sorry you went through that, and thanks for sharing that story.
You got it. Well, you did, so I did. Naomi Seligman, good luck. Keep me posted. Let me know if anything happens, if there's any blowback for him. There should be.
I will.
All right.
Thank you for the opportunity,
All right.
Nicole. I appreciate
you got it. No worries.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. And with that, that brings us to the end of the hour. Naomi was supposed to be here Friday. She had a thing with her kid that ran late, and she spaced on the interview and was very apologetic. So I said, if you want to call in the last few minutes of the show, do. And so that's why we changed course like that, because it's an important story that needs to be told. What a disappointment, though. Why did they always disappoint us? Damn. So elect Karen Bass as the next mayor of Los Angeles, and let's give the men a rest for a while. Not all men, just, some men. All right, with that, we're done. Please come back tomorrow, Nicole. All right, I'll be here tomorrow. Laffy may or may not. She's supposed to be here tomorrow. She had a little stomach thing, so... I told her we need her tomorrow because it is the week, it's Christmas week. These 2 weeks at the end of the year are very difficult to book guests. And, at least there's a lot to talk about. I didn't get through half of it today. So if we need to keep going like this, tomorrow we can. Wednesday, we're going to do our Festivus Zoom session. So be prepared for that. The beginning of the show, I'm going to put out a Zoom link. Everyone can jump in and participate. Hopefully you will, or I'll stand here looking stupid. But we'll figure it out. All right? Okay. I guess that's it for now. Okay. I'll leave you with the news and say thank you for listening, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Such as it is. Here we go. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Senator Joe Manchin went on Fox News Sunday, the first episode in the post-Chris Wallace era, with a screw you to his party and the American people for the holidays.
I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no on this legislation. I have tried everything I know to do.
Yep, Joe Manchin proclaiming he will not vote for President Biden's Build Back Better bill, which would expand the social safety net and fight climate change. The White House and leading congressional Democrats have been negotiating with Manchin to seek his support, which they need in order to push the bill through the evenly divided Senate. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Manchin was reneging on a promise with his, quote, sudden and inexplicable reversal, noting that as recently as Tuesday, he had pledged to work out a compromise with the White House. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer sent a Dear Colleague letter to his caucus explaining that he'll still bring the Build Back Better bill to the floor after Congress returns in January, quote, and we will keep voting until we get something done, he said. He added that as early as the first week back, the Senate will also consider voting rights legislation, noting that such bills have been obstructed by Republican filibusters in the past. Schumer's letter stated that, quote, if they continue to abuse the filibuster and prevent the body from considering this bill, the Senate will then consider changes to any rules which prevent us from debating and reaching final conclusion on important legislation. Moving on to crisis number two. The United States is likely to face record numbers of new coronavirus infections and hospitalizations as the Omicron variant spreads explosively. That's the message being conveyed by the top medical authorities, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, who said on CNN this weekend that the extraordinary transmissibility of this new strain will cause a significant stress on some hospitals, quote, particularly in those areas where you have a low level of vaccination. Francis Collins, the director of National Institutes of Health, said on Sunday that the nation could soon see a million new Omicron cases a day. That's way more than the record of about 250,000 new daily cases set in January. Although it was unclear how many of these new cases would require hospitalization, the warnings are severe. And to underscore the situation, Senators Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker both said on Sunday that they had tested positive. Warren, who lost her older brother to the virus in May of 2020, is fully vaccinated and boosted. She said she's experiencing mild symptoms and credited the vaccine and boost for preventing her from more severe illness. The holidays may be almost here, but democracy is still on the line. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger said Sunday that the House Select Committee investigating the actions on January 6th are looking into whether former President Donald Trump committed a crime with his involvement in the deadly riot. Kinzinger is one of two Republican members on the committee that's been probing the attack of the Capitol earlier this year, including Trump's involvement in the episode. Separately, Stop the Steal leader Ali Alexander has handed over thousands of text messages and communication records to the House committee that includes his interactions with certain members of Congress and Trump's inner circle leading up to the riot. Alexander is a central figure for investigators seeking to understand how the rallies on January 6th were funded, organized, promoted, and eventually erupted into an attack on the Capitol. Three big trials appear to be wrapping up this week, just in time for the holidays. First, after 3 months of testimony from 32 witnesses, the criminal fraud case of Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes is now in the hands of the jury. Holmes faces 9 counts of wire fraud, 2 counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. The jury is 8 men and 4 women. They've got to decide whether Holmes knowingly misled investors, doctors, and patients about her startup business in order to take their money, while falsely claiming to have revolutionized blood testing. If convicted, Holmes faces up to 20 years in prison. Closing arguments in Ghislaine Maxwell's sex trafficking trial began Monday morning in a federal courtroom in downtown Manhattan. 12 days of testimony offered a rare window into the life of her and her longtime companion, Jeffrey Epstein. Maxwell is the daughter of a British media mogul, was once a fixture in New York City's social scene, and now faces 6 counts stemming from what prosecutors say was her role in facilitating the sexual exploitation and abuse of teenage girls and young women by Epstein between 1994 and 2004. Maxwell, who didn't testify in her own defense, faces a maximum sentence of 70 years if convicted on all counts. And finally, closing arguments also began Monday morning in the trial of Kim Potter. She's the former Minneapolis police officer charged with manslaughter after shooting and killing Dante Wright, saying she mistook her service revolver for her taser. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.